in our sessions on cultures and consumption. We've got four speakers: Birgitta Gasleben, Nick Blackner, Justin Spinney, and Alison Armstrong. What we've decided to do is we'll take four presentations, one after the other. If you've got a burning question of clarification, then we can address that. But I'd really like to reserve all the discussion for the end. It'd be a more coherent discussion, and I think if we leave that to the final 20 minutes or so. So without further ado, we can ask Birgitta to...
First of all, I'm just going to say that the little blurb that you got in the programme, as Tim mentioned, you got disciplinarity in advance as well. There were meant to be two more sociology presentations and two psychology presentations. Unfortunately, one of the sociologists couldn't make it today, so I'm replacing him, but I am a psychologist, so there's only actually going to be three psychologists and one poor sociologist in the middle there. So he's a bit of the outlier, yeah? So myself will be on nice identity and interactive behaviour. This is some work that I've been doing on the basis of other data that we've collected within Brazil. We found out by now that there's a huge amount of data that we've collected in Brazil. So Anif and myself and Rocky did some secondary analysis on some of the data that we've collected, and to explore the relationship between values, identity and programs and behaviour. Now, most of the work in psychology, that's the thing for psychology, logo for psychology, I have to explain this. So psychological predictors of programming today, but most of the work in psychology, sort of quantitative correlation of research, looks at attitudes, and you've all known, heard about the attitude-behavior gap, I'm sure. And there's actually a lot of work in psychology that does show that there is a link between attitudes and behavior. But generally speaking, attitudes are good predictors of behaviour, can be good predictors of behaviour, but only if they are very closely conceptually linked. So if your attitude towards recycling paper is positive, you're more likely to recycle paper. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you then also vote for the Green Party, for instance. So attitudes can be good predictors of behaviour, but only if it's very specific. Other concepts, which are sort of slightly vaguer in terms of, from a psychological perspective, like identities and values, tend to be less strong predictors of specific behaviours. But the really valuable thing about general concepts like values and identities is that they do link to more behaviours. And of course, this is really interesting from a policy or from a behaviour change perspective, because if you can change general values or make general values or identities more salient, then maybe people will be more likely to act on those, and that will transcend two different behaviours and maybe also spill over from one behaviour to the other. Debra talked about catalyst behaviours, for instance, the idea being that if we maybe change one behaviour, then people will be more motivated to also do other programming things. Now, if the idea behind identities and values is if you have strong environmental identity or strong environmental values, that spillover is more likely to happen. So it is a useful, very useful concept to look at. So just a bit about how we define these different variables. So attitudes are very specifically positive or negative or mixed reactions to persons or specific behaviours or situations. Whereas values are more likely to be described as guiding principles in life, so that they are things that transcend different situations. And they're tend to be stable, and they're not that easy to change. Whereas an attitude you can change through information campaigns, for instance, you can make people more aware that recycling is good. Values are much more core to people's being, and they don't change that quickly. Environmental values, such as the new environmental paradigms, which is a scale to measure environmental values, but also often called environmental beliefs, tend to measure things like the extent to which people believe that humans are part of nature and should therefore be careful with it, or sort of are above nature and nature can be modified and attuned to their needs. So that's a sort of value. Identities are also sort of very core personal values, but identities are much more complex. And so identities are more or less how people see themselves. This is me, this is my me there, lovely picture. And obviously I have multiple identities. I am an academic, I'm a mother, I'm a resolver today as well, and I'm an environmentally friendly person, and there's lots of different identities. And the different identities become salient at different times and situations. And my values, to be a good person, to be an honest person, to be to protect nature, maybe also to become rich, these are my guiding principles in life. They are parts of my identity. So that's a way to look at the link between values and identities. And in a lot of work in psychology, values are often used as to explain or to predict programs or behaviour. The idea being that if you have a strong environmental value, you will act programs and positive and behaviours. So one of the things that we are looking at, if identities are a more broader concept that sort of encapsulates values, are they then sort of better predictors of behaviours or strongly linked to behaviours? And if that is the case, maybe things like campaigns that focus on making particular values more salient should look more at identities than values. So that's one of the things that we wanted to look at in this studies, in these studies. So as I mentioned before, there's already a lot of evidence that shows that values are linked to environmental behaviour. So biospheric values, the extent to which you value nature, I think it should be protected. And self-transcendent values, the extent to which you are concerned about the world around you. And you saw the Maslow pyramid this morning. The top of the pyramid, people who are at the top, they are more concerned about the world around them. Those people tend to be more pro-environmental. And identity, again, there's a lot of work that shows that environmental identities tend to explain behaviours over and above specific attitudes. So the link between values and identities, as I quickly mentioned before, is the general perception is that values are an integral part of identities, but there's actually very little work that looks at this specifically, particularly in psychology, so how those two are related and which one is more closely linked to behaviours. There is some work that's been done in the Netherlands at the moment which suggests that values tend to be more strongly related to behaviours if they are more central to your self-concept. So if they are more important to you, then they are more strongly related to what you do. So the questions that I'm trying to address here in this presentation, probably only take about 15 minutes, I think, I'll ask you, it's more strongly related to behaviours and values, which is what we predict, because they're conceptually closer. And will identity mediate the relationship between values and behaviour? Are values related to behaviour? And is this sort of explained through identity? So is identity actually the variable that we should be looking at? We did some secondary analysis of resolved data, as I mentioned before. I looked at three different studies. So the first question is, how are attitudes and identity related to programs and behaviours? One of the studies we looked at was a study of people's attitudes and perceptions of corporate social responsibility. And it was a survey that was done with UK consumers, lots of UK consumers, through a media organisation. So it was an online survey. And in that survey, which had lots of media consumption questions on it, there were lots of questions about attitudes and behaviour in terms of five programmes of behaviours. And also questions around the extent to which people believed they were a health-conscious consumer, a price-conscious consumer, an environmentally friendly consumer, or a affordable consumer. So the other studies were looking at the extent to which identity and values explain behaviour, and whether identity is the variable that mediates the relationship between values and behaviour. We've got two studies here. One is a study that was done by Lockyer Amhouse and David Evans, which was a quantitative survey of the Sustainable Lifestylers project, which was mentioned earlier today, which was mainly a qualitative study, but had also a quantitative element in it. That was a postal survey that went out to 135 English households, or was completed by 135 households, and it had questions on values, general values in it. And also the extent to which people perceive themselves as healthy, environmentally friendly, affordable consumers. But in this case, they measured slightly differently. So the questions along the lines of, I am the type of person who does isn't environmentally friendly consumer or finds it important to be environmentally friendly. And people's intentions to adopt a wide range of behaviour. I think there were about 25 behaviours in that questionnaire. And the third questionnaire, similar to the second, which was a study that was done by Michael Peters. And it was a puzzle questionnaire that looked at 266 households, and it had this new environmental paradigm. It is this environmental belief scale, and also had a scale in there that measures materialistic values, the MVS. So the extent to which people believe that material, acquiring more material possessions, is an important way of increasing their wealth and their happiness. And people who are more materialistic tend to desire more material goods, tend to buy more material goods, tend to think that buying things makes them happier. And also some questions on identities. So going back to the first one. One slide on each of the studies. So basically this confirms exactly what I said in the beginning. So the extent to which people think that recycling is good is related to their recycling behaviour. But the extent to which they say that buying fair trade is good is not at all related to whether they recycle or not. So clearly specific attitudes are related to very specific behaviours, but other attitudes are not. So these things don't necessarily transcend. But this question on the extent to which people think that they are an environmentally conscious consumer, or in this case it was also the extent to which they believe they were a frugal consumer, was related to all of these behaviours. So there were five or six behaviours in there. So this identity concept, I am an environmentally friendly consumer, did relate to all these different behaviours. And it explained variance, for those who like statistics here, over and above the attitudes, specific attitudes. So identities do seem to be useful to look at in relation to explaining specific behaviours and their transcend behaviours. So the second study, we looked at whether there's a relationship between these different variables and where environmental identity. Now this is going to be visibly statistical, so if you have any questions, do let me know. First, we tried to find out whether there's a relationship between values and identities. And there was, so the extent to which you have more biospheric values relates to the extent to which you say that you are an environmentally friendly person. And a negative relationship was found with the extent to which you have more egoistic and materialistic values. So that's what we would have hoped. But there, obviously you can see that this relationship is at 0.38, it can go up to 1 is a perfect relationship. So there's a relationship there, but they are not the same concept. So values and identity might be related, but they're not the same thing. Biospheric values are also related to programs or behaviour, as you can see there. And identities were also related to behaviour. You can already see that identities were more strongly related to behaviour than values were. So when we did sports mediation analysis, we actually found that the relationship between values and behaviour almost completely disappeared when we controlled or accounted for identity, which suggests that identities are stronger, more strongly related to behaviour, and the link between values and behaviour is sort of incorporated in this identity concept, so to speak. So the other study, we looked at the very similar similar analysis. Now here we use the NEP, this is the environmental values belief scale that I mentioned before. Again, we found a relationship between environmental beliefs and environmental identity, and a relationship between environmental beliefs or values and behaviour. And a significant relationship between identity and behaviour. And again, we found that there was a sort of mediation effect. And here, this effect was much weaker. So the if we control for identity, the link between environmental values and behaviour did reduce, suggesting that, again, that this identity is a sort of a more overlapping concept. But there was still a lot of variance in behaviour being explained by environmental beliefs. Now, one of the reasons for that might be because there's a general belief in environmental psychology research that these really general values, the link between very general values and behaviour, goes through as like steps through more specific values. So your general values influence your general beliefs, which influence your specific attitudes, which influence your behaviour. So there's some steps going through this. And environmental beliefs are more closer to behaviour than general values. So to summarise or conclude, specific attitudes are more strongly related to specific behaviours than general beliefs and identities, but environmental identities are related to a range of behaviours, which supports the idea that there's a sort of transcendent nature of the concept. This, if you can sort of make these identities more salient, people might be more likely to behave from environmentally across different contexts. And environmental identities we get linked to values of behaviour, supporting the idea that identities do encompass this concept of values. So what does that mean then in practice? Well, you might have heard of the concept of identity campaigning, which is something that's been proposed by WWF. And when you read about identity campaigning, there's often not a clear link, distinction to be made between values and identities. It's sort of spoken about as if they are the same concept, which this work suggests they're not necessarily. But the idea behind it is that it is really important to make those identities more salient in society if you really want to get moved towards, say, more sustainable lifestyles or behaviour across the board, and this sort of spillover effect. And it's a really worthwhile reading up on this idea, I think. But of course, in order to do that, we need a better understanding of and measurement of the identity concept. There's still a lot of work to be done, I think, in the field of psychology, of understanding exactly how identities are related to behaviour, and also the sort of causal effect, because of course I did some analysis here, but we didn't actually study this causal effect. So is it that you can make identity salient and that will then translate into behaviour, or are behaviours becoming part of informing our identities? And identity research suggests it goes both ways. So understanding how that exactly works, I think, is really important. And understanding the development of identities as well as the variables that support and suppress identities. And so the work that Neve will be talking about in a bit will sort of show you, demonstrate how identities can be, the concept of identities can be used to promote and to understand the promotion of behaviour change as well as resistance to behaviour change. So that was it. Thank you.